Mab was bad enough, and hell's bells, I hadn't even thought about it, I'd been so busy. But Mab's understudy, Maeve, the Winter Lady, was arguably more psychotic than Mab herself. And she was unarguably pettier, more vicious, and more likely to want to play games with anyone close to me. I wondered how long it would take me to lose myself. Weeks? Months? Neither Mab nor Maeve would want me to remain my own man. I wondered if, when I was what they wanted me to be, it would bother me to remember what I had been, what others had meant to me. All I said was, "I miss you." She looked down and away, blinking. Then she gave up the attempt and gave me a rather hesitant smile as a tear fell, as if it were something she hadn't done in a while and was still remembering how to accomplish it. "I miss joking with you. How could you do it?" I asked quietly. "How could you not tell me about her?" "By tearing out a piece of myself," she said quietly. "I know it was wrong. I knew it was wrong when I did it, and that I was going to regret it someday. But I had to keep her safe. I'm not asking you to forgive, just understand." I thought about that moment of stillness and choice at the stone table. "Yeah," I said. I lifted a hand and touched her face with my fingertips. Then I leaned over to kiss her forehead. "I do understand." She stepped closer and we hugged. She felt surprisingly slender and fragile in my arms. We stayed that way for a little while, both of us feeling the fear of what was coming. We tried to ignore the hundreds of red eyes watching us. We more or less succeeded. Another cannon clap of sound echoed around the vast hall, and the Earl King said, "Red Hunters, let your chosen champions enter the circle, or else forfeit the trial." "Okay," I said. "The Ebes will be tough, but they're doable. They rely on stealth tactics, and this is going to be as straight up as you can get. I'm going to hit them with something that should give you enough time to close. Take whichever one is on the left. Move too far to the right and you'll be in my line of fire, so don't. You smash one, I burn the other, and we go get some custom coffee mugs to memorialize the occasion later," Susan said. "I stopped drinking coffee, you know, the caffeine." I looked at her with mock disgust. "You heathen."
"Fine,"
Esmeralda said from the far side of the circle. She pointed a finger at one of the vampires trapped beneath the goblin's nets.
You do it."
Impatiently, the tiny woman went to the trapped vampire, hideous and inhuman in its true form, and sliced through the odd material of the net with her nails, freeing the captive. Without ceremony, she pitched the vampire into the circle. One of her foot soldiers? Okay, this might be easier than I thought. Esteban appeared then, walking calmly forward. The slowly accelerating lub-dub sound of the devourer's unsettling heartbeat came with him. The devourer loomed over Esteban, horrible and hungry-looking, and at a command from the vampire, it shambled forward into the circle, its all-black eyes staring at us with unnerving intensity. I might have been projecting or something, but it seemed to me that the ick was spoiling for some payback.
"Oh, crap," Susan said in a very small voice.
"When the circle is closed," said the Earl King's deep voice, "the trial begins. It will conclude when one party has been neutralized. Do the champions of the Red Hunters stand ready?" All of the vampires let out wailing shrieks, and even the ick let out a hissing burble like an overfull tea kettle.
"What are we going to do?"
Susan whispered frantically. I had no idea. "You take the scrub," my mouth said. "I'll handle the devourer."
"Right," she said, her eyes wide. "Right."
The Earl King appeared halfway between the two parties, standing outside the circle.
"Sir Knight, do you and the Lady Huntress stand ready?"
We both nodded sharply, though our eyes were fixed upon our opponents, not the Earl King. I began drawing in my will, and power seethed in my belly and chest and became an odd pressure behind my eyes. The Earl King drew his sword and held it high, and every goblin in the place began roaring. Fire licked up the blade of the sword, wreathing it in green flame, and then he dropped the sword, thrusting its tip into the trough in the stone the goblins had dug. Green goblin fire flared up with a howl and clouds of foul smoke.
It raced around the exterior of the circle in both directions until the two tongues of flame met at the point opposite where they had begun. Susan screamed. I screamed. The vampire screamed. The ick did that tea kettle thing. And then we all started trying to kill one another.